श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ राधा कुंड श्यामा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन के वृंदावन धाम के मायापुर धाम के गंगा माई के यमुना माई के तुलसी देवी के भक्ति देवी के जानिताय गौर परमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुंशी गौरंगा ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Bhagavatam. Now today is Vamana Dvadashi, so it's the appearance of Lord Vamana there. And well, we were supposed to talk about that.
What verse is that?
17. So reading from Canto 7, chapter 7, text 17. Bhavatam api bhuyan me yadi shradadhate vachaha visharadi धीहे श्रद्धातः स्त्री बालानां च मे यथा भवताम् अपि भूयान् मे यदि श्रद्धा दवते वचः Visharadi dhi shraddhataha Stri balanam chameyatha Bhavatam api bhuyan me Yadi shraddhate vachaha Vaisharadi dhi shraddhataha Sribalanam chameyatha Bhavatam api bhuyan me Yadi shradadhate vachaha Vaisharadi dhi shradhataha Sribalanam chameyatha
Matajis.
bhavatam of yourself. Api also. Bhuyat it may be. Me of me. Yadi if. Shradadhate you believe in. Vachaha the words. Vaisharadi of the most expert. Or in relation with the Supreme Lord. Dhihi intelligence. Shraddhataha because of firm faith. Stri of woman. Balanam of small boys. Cha also. Me of me. Yatha just as. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith you can also understand transcendental knowledge just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter. Purport. These words of Prahlad Maharaj are very important in regard to knowledge descending by the disciplic succession. Even when Prahlad Maharaj was a baby within the womb of his mother, he became fully convinced of the existence of the Supreme Power because of hearing the powerful instructions of Narada and understood how to attain perfection in life by Bhakti Yoga. These are the most important understandings in spiritual knowledge. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yatha deve tatha gurau, tasyaite kaitava hyartaha, prakashante mahatmanaha. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.23. Atak Shri Krishna Madi na bhaved Grahyam Indraihi Sevonmukehi Jihvadav Swayam Eva Spuratyadaha. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendent loving service unto him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. Bhaktyamam Abhijanati Yata yash chamsi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tat anartaram. One who understands the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion he can enter into the kingdom of God. Bhagavad Gita 18.55. These are Vedic instructions. One must have full faith in the word of the spiritual master and similar faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the real knowledge of Atma and Paramatma and the distinction between matter and spirit will be automatically revealed. This Atma Tattva or spiritual knowledge will be revealed within the core of the devotee's heart because of his having taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Mahajanas, such as Prahlad Maharaj. In this verse, the word Bhuyat may be understood to mean let there be. Prahlad Maharaj offers his blessings to his class friends, saying, also become faithful like me, become bona fide Vaishnavas. A devotee of the Lord desires for everyone to take to Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, however, people sometimes do not have staunch faith in the words of the spiritual master who comes by the disciplic succession, and therefore they are unable to understand transcendental knowledge. The spiritual master must be in the line of outright disciplic succession, like Prahlad Maharaj, who received that knowledge from Narada. If the class friends of Prahlad Maharaj, the sons of demons, were to accept the truth through Prahlad, they would certainly also become fully aware of transcendental knowledge. The word Vaisharadidhi refers to intelligence concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is expert, extremely expert. The Lord has created wonderful universes by his expert knowledge. Unless one is extremely expert, he cannot understand the expert management of the Supreme Expert. One can understand, however, if one is fortunate enough to meet a bona fide spiritual master coming in the six-cyclic succession from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Mother Lakshmi, or the Kumaras. These four sampradayas, or disciplic successions of knowledge and transcendence, are called the Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Shri Sampradaya, and Kumara Sampradaya. Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpala mataha. The knowledge of the Supreme received from such a sampradaya or disciplic succession can give one enlightenment. If one does not take to the path of disciplic succession, it is not possible for one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one understands the Supreme Lord through devotional service with faith in the disciplic succession and then advances farther, he awakens his natural love for God and then his success in life is assured. Hare Krishna. So here actually Prahlad Maharaj is being instructing the boys in his class. And what is he telling them? He is telling them the absolute truth. Now, how did he get it? He got it just by hearing the instructions of bona fide guru, right? And then we can see that it wasn't really necessary that he knew what's happening. He was in the womb. But Narad Muni, being merciful, then he spoke the instructions. And Prahlad Maharaj, then being born while the parents were conscious of the Lord, of course it was not necessarily always in the positive, as Hiranyakashipu was thinking of Vishnu as the greatest enemy, but nonetheless still he was conscious. So therefore Prahlad Maharaj was born as a devotee, and therefore now in the womb he was already receptive to the transcendental knowledge. Narada Muni knowing that, so then he knew, and therefore he came and he spoke the transcendental knowledge. So now we see that Prahlad Maharaj, he with full faith from the very beginning, very young age, had the full faith. And no matter what, who would say something else, his father is trying to convince him about something else. No, his teachers are trying to tell him something else. But he doesn't buy into this because he's fully conscious of the Lord. And therefore, he directly understands through Chaitanya Guru then what needs to be done. So he is fully Krishna conscious. So his consciousness, his level of consciousness is Anandamoy. So he is not wavering from that. He is not moving from that. And knowing that this is the best for the jiva, he is telling the same thing to his classmates. Of course, everybody now has his own choice, can do whatever you want. We had chosen to come to Mayapur to perform devotional service. Somebody chooses to come to Mayapur to enjoy. Somebody chooses to come to Mayapur to do nonsense. But your choice, right? Everybody has the choice. With the choice, a consequence comes, but that's secondary. No. So now Prahlad Maharaj, he had made his own choice and he understands this is the best. So what is he doing? He is preaching. Right? And what is he preaching? About his what choice he made, why did he make it, and what he understands that this is superior to any other situation. So always remember Krishna. That's what he does. He always remembers the Lord. What he preaches, do the same thing. Be conscious. Be conscious of the Lord. And now, in the previous verse, then we see, okay, so Prahlad Maharaj said that he was in the womb. And the question is, how do you remember from the womb? Well, okay, I remember because my spiritual master told me, so therefore I remember. My mother doesn't remember. Okay, maybe she was not really fully conscious of it, so she doesn't remember. So and then, but in this verse, he says, if you want to, then anybody can remember that. So we have to make the choice properly. And not to that, we have to do the activities as we are supposed to. Devotional activities. In the beginning, okay, it can be, no, Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti, right? That's what we do, following the rules and regulations. That's the focus. But how long will it last? Now, why do we follow the rules and regulations? Just for the sake of following? You get nowhere. But if we follow the rules and regulations because we want to understand our relationship with the Lord and we want to develop taste for serving the Lord, then now from the rules and regulations, then naturally we'll develop spontaneity. We want to do. Like you come to the school and then you have to follow rules and regulations to learn the ABC and whatever it is. And then, once you know the basics, then you can do something about it. Like learning puja. In the beginning, it's, you learn so many mantras and what to do with the hands and the archmandi, oh, I forgot this. And then you are not much focused on the deities. Because you don't know the ritual even. So then the focus is somewhere else. But the ritual is not the goal. It's just the via media. How do you reciprocate to the deities, with the deities? The way the deities want. So it's prescribed. So now, all these things are meant to elevate one's consciousness. And what is Prahlad Maharaj doing? He is just saying the same thing. Just always remember the Lord. And your consciousness will be elevated, will be purified. This is nothing higher than that. So we have to follow in their footsteps. Right? Okay, now we have the appearance there of Vamanadev. Vamanadev connected with Bali Maharaj. Right? Bali Maharaj, then okay, who is he? He is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And what's the specialty on the appearance of Lord Vamanadev? Right? Okay, so one we know that is it, Lord Trivikrama, and okay, he got charity. He asked for charity, he got it from Bali Maharaj. And then he took over the whole universe, right? Which Bali Maharaj actually was taking. So that we know. Now, there is one very, very important point, and that is that Shukracharya, who was the guru of Bali Maharaj, then he understood who Vamana Dev is and he knew what's going to happen. So after Bali Maharaj, then on the request of small young brahmachari, he said, can I have three steps of land? Oh, sure you can have, no problem. Now, he seemed ignorant, but he wasn't. Now, Shukracharya, seeing that, then, he said, hey, you cannot do that. He's going to take everything from you. Right? And then, Bali Maharaj, what did he do? Started to be worried about, really? So, what did I do? No, he didn't do any of that. In fact, we can read from Prabhupada, from the Bhagavatam. Okay, so it's in the next canto, 20th chapter. So Shukara Goswami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time, and then, after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. Then, and Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Bali Maharaj remained silent at a critical point. How could he disobey the instructions of Shukracharya, his spiritual master? It is the duty of such a sober personality as Bali Maharaj to abide by the orders of his spiritual master immediately, as his spiritual master had advised. But Bali Maharaj also considered that Shukracharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of the guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he is unable to do so and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a guru. Guru Nasa Syat, Bhagavatam 5.5.18. One should not become a guru if he cannot enable his disciple to advance in Krishna consciousness. The goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna so that one may be freed from the bondage of material existence. The spiritual master helps the disciple attain this stage by developing Krishna consciousness. Now, Shukracharya has advised Bali Maharaj to deny the promise to Vamanadev. Under the circumstances, therefore, Bali Maharaj thought that there would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. He deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master, or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He took some time. Therefore, it is said that Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan Uvacha Vahito Gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Lord Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the Guru's advice to the contrary. Anyone who is supposed to be a guru but who goes against the principles of Vishnu Bhakti cannot be accepted as a guru. If one is falsely accepted such a guru, one should reject him. Srila Jiva Goswami has advised that such a useless guru, a family priest acting as guru, should be given up, and that the proper bona fide guru should be accepted. A scholarly brahmana, except in all subject of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But if a person born in a family of a lower caste is a Vaishnava, he can become a spiritual master. So, this is a very important point, because we know spiritual master, the orders of a spiritual master, should never be doubted, right? But now we see that Bali Maharaj, he had actually the courage then to decide not to follow his spiritual master. Now that's quite a strong decision. Now one may wonder, how does he know? Right? What do we and how what happened there? So what did actually Shukracharya ask him? Right? He asked him, no, don't give up anything to the Supreme Lord, rather just hold on it because it's money, it's possession. So he preferred to teach his disciple about material, it's more valuable than spiritual. And that was wrong. So therefore, Bali Maharaj, who was not a fool, he knew what's going to happen, but he did it not out of ignorance. He did it with full consciousness. And the consciousness was Krishna consciousness. Now, the reply of Bali Maharaj, right? So Bali Maharaj said, as we have already stated, the principle of religion does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct. Now, Srila Prabhupada speaks, no one is prepared to accept any religious principles if it hampers material prosperity. Shukracharya, being a person of this material world, did not know the principles of the devotee. A devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. This is the principle of bhakti. So, always remember Krishna, never forget. And if anything would make you forget Krishna, it should be rejected. Bali Maharaj had the opportunity to contribute anything, everything he possessed to the Lord, lotus feet of Vamanadev. But Shukracharya was putting forward a material argument to hamper this process of devotional service. Under the circumstances, Bali Maharaj decided that such hindrances should certainly be avoided. In other words, he decided immediately to reject the advice of Shukracharya and go on with his duty. Thus, he gave all possessions to Lord Vamanadev. And again, Bali Maharaj speaks, I am the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money when I have already said that I shall give this land? How can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially towards a Brahmana? And here Srila Prabhupada talks very, very important point. Okay, examples of such devotees. No, it's a little bit later. Okay. Then again, Bali Maharaj speaks. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy things except a person who is a liar. I do not fear hell, poverty, an ocean of distress, fall down from my position, or even death itself, as much as I fear cheating a Brahmana. My Lord, you can also see that all the material opulences of this world are certainly separated from their possessor at death. Therefore, if the Brahmana, Vamanadev, is not satisfied by whatever gifts one has given, why not please him with the riches one is destined to lose at death? Now, okay. Coming to it. Dadichi, Shibi, and many other great personalities were willing to sacrifice even their lives for the benefit of the people in general. This is the evidence of history. So why not give up this insignificant land? What is so serious? What is the serious consideration against it? And here Srila Prabhupada talks about Chanakya Pandit. Now he says, Chanakya Pandit says in this regard, since our money and possession do not last, but will somehow or other be taken away, as long as they are in our possession, it is better to use them for charity to a noble cause. Therefore, Bali Maharaj defied the order of his so-called spiritual master. And again, Bali Maharaj, O best of the Brahmanas, certainly the great demoniac kings who were never reluctant to fight enjoyed this world, but in due course of time, everything they had was taken away except their reputation, by which they continue to exist. In other words, one should try to achieve a good reputation instead of anything else. O best of the Brahmanas, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unfair of fighting, but rarely one has gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. By giving charity, and a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. So you see, he's dealing very, very respectfully with his guru, but he already rejected the proposal which he made. So there is no need to make it a vocal or graphical. But he made it clear. O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yagyas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether the same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order to give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. And here Srila Prabhupada writes, one must ultimately worship Lord Vishnu. And for that purpose, the Varnashrama system organizes society into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Grihastas, Vanaprastas, and Sannyasis. Bali Maharaj, having been perfectly educated in devotional service by his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, knew how things are to be done. He was never to be misguided by anyone, even by a person who happened to be his so-called spiritual master. This is the sign of full surrender. When one surrenders to Lord Vishnu, one must be prepared to abide by his orders in all circumstances, whether he kills one or gives one protection. Lord Vishnu must be worshipped in all circumstances. So here we see actually what the full surrender means, right? Atmanivedana. So whether it is pleasing to us what I'm supposed to do or not, anyway it's done. But it's done with the proper consciousness. The consciousness is, okay, I may not like it, but it is pleasing to the Lord, I will do it. That's the meaning of doing one's duty. And then how do I know what the duties are? So Srila Prabhupada, now he mentions here about the society is divided into varnashrama. And then you should know what your duties are. You should educate yourself. So there are the ashramas, the four ashramas which are meant for elevation once, no, spiritually, and there are the varnas which are meant for engaging one according to his nature. So without that, it will be very difficult then to run a society. And in fact, every society is automatically divided into these, whether we want or not. But if we scientifically accept it, understand it, and follow the orders, then it's much easier to understand and to not accept and expect the results from it. So we should not be naive that, oh, we can just do whatever we want. If that would be so, I mean, if a sannyasi or a nashtika brahmachari says, we don't need varnashrama. Okay. Right. I mean, you don't need. So there is no need for you. But when a grihastha comes and says, oh, we just chant Hare Krishna, we don't need varnashrama. So what are you part of? And how do you follow your grihastha duties? And when you have children, what do? You chant Hare Krishna, or you feed the kid, or you know, you train the kid in something, or just chant Hare Krishna. And if chanting Hare Krishna is so, you know, if you understand it, if you are so realized that chanting Hare Krishna is the only thing which we need to do, why did you get married? To chant better? Or because one has attachments? And the attachments, are material attachments ever beneficial for chanting of the holy name? Or they are against? Right? So when grihastha accepts his duties as a grihastha and he does them properly, he gets purified. So by living grihastha life, one can easily go back to Godhead if he lives as a grihastha. But if he lives as a grihamedi, not really. Now, there are many devotees, there are many. And even here, who they choose to not be neither brahmacharis nor grihasthas, like in between. They may work, make money, but they are not taking any responsibility. So they don't have obligations. So they use the money they want, they went as they want. And sometimes a lot of money. So they feel actually they get the best of all. No obligations to grihastha ashram. No authority or not the dependence on the ashram or guru as brahmachari. So they have the independence. They have they can do feel they can do whatever they want. And there is nobody to really tell them what to do, and they can use and do whatever they want. So that's not an ashram. And therefore, the result is going to be neither the ashram of brahmachari or grihastha. And therefore, they will not really get any good results. In fact, the danger can be that they like it. And if they like it, and if they leave body while they like it, they didn't find anything bad in this material world. I had enjoyed, I have no problem. Then the good possibility is that I can take another lifetime, it's not a problem. I have no desire really to go back to Godhead. I was fine. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us something else. We should figure out that that should be our last lifetime. Now focus on that. So whatever we do, we should realize that. As a brahmacharya, as a grihastha, it doesn't matter. Anybody has the chance to realize it. So then why not to go for it? But it is to be done properly, based on our duties. Then, again, Bali Maharaj speaks. Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear, he has covered himself in the form of a brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. So, that's Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, then, no, he understands what's happening. But he is saying that, okay, I already promised, he comes to me, and even if he is disguised, he is not who he is claiming to be, but I'm not going to do anything against. I am happy that I can serve. If this Brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by the Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. And then Shukadeva Goswami continues. Thereafter, the spiritual master, Shukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. And Srila Prabhupada speaks, the difference between the behavior of Bali Maharaj and that of his spiritual master, Shukracharya, was that Bali Maharaj had already developed love for Godhead, whereas Shukracharya, being merely a priest of routine rituals, had not. Thus, Shukracharya was never inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to develop in devotional service. And that can as well be our problem. If we are not trying to purify ourselves, if we are not trying to associate with sadhus, if we are not trying to perform our duties with full consciousness, with determination, with seriousness, steadiness, then how else can we prove that we are trying to become a devotee? What else is there? Right. The way how we perform our duties towards the Lord, it's our only way how we can somehow get attention of the Lord. That's what actually I want. But saying it I want, and at the same time, you know, enjoy the facilities or maintain the attachments to the material world, speaks otherwise. Then, are we sincere or are we cheaters? We have to answer this for each other, for ourselves. Right? And again, Srila Prabhupada speaks, although the Supreme Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, unless one is a Vaishnava, unless one is engaged in devotional service, one does not get sound advice by which to return home back to Godhead. Such instructions are meant only for devotees. Therefore, in this verse, the word Daiva prahitaha, being inspired by the Supreme Lord is important. Now, I remember, I was talking to one devotee. He has a lot of problems. All his problems are connected to being attached to material sphere, actually being attached to do nonsense. Now, he wants to know what he should do to being able to become more serious, more sincere. So the natural thing is, okay, first just give up the attachment. You have to first give up the attachment and practice devotional service, right? Study Shastra, associate with the sadhus, and follow the orders of your spiritual master. You will naturally be elevated. The consciousness will get purified, elevated. So, okay, yes, and then he talks and talks and talks. And so, what should I do? First, give up the attachments, right? And while giving up the attachment, just practice devotional service. And it comes out, he does not want to give up the attachments. He wants to maintain them. And at the same time, become a serious devotee. How is it possible? How is it possible? No. It's not. So if we are not ready, we don't want to give up the attachments, but we want to advance and then be seen by others how serious we are, it's cheating, it's nonsense. Won't work. And yes, it's understood, it's a process, and it's very difficult to give up the attachments. For somebody maybe a little more, for somebody a little less, it's there. It's not expected. None of the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, nobody expects that one can immediately, one becomes immediately pure devotee. I mean, if yes, then we can see Bhagavatam speaks about many of such pure devotees. Okay, we are not. But the process of devotional service is given. And as Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami speaks about, then simultaneously, the detachment from material world and attachment to Krishna happens. So now we have to accept it, that we have to follow the process as it is and at least start giving, not thinking about, I will give up my attachments. The devotional service is dynamic process. That means that if we are working towards to give up the attachments, then it's considered that we are properly situated. It's like a person, right? Person may be dirty. Now he goes to the shower to take bath. Is he clean or is he dirty? Well, he's in between. Somebody can say, no, he's there, he's clean. Somebody said, no, he's still not fully done, he's dirty. So the point is, we are trying to purify. So as long as we are following the orders of the spiritual master, and we do sincerely follow the process, we are going to be purified. It's a question of time, nothing else. But if we say, I don't need to, or I don't want to, who can make us? Nobody. If we are determined that I don't want to give up my attachment, nobody can make you. So if he speaks like this, the devotee, I don't want to, but I want to become serious devotee. So will it happen? No. It's not possible. So we have to take the responsibility properly. Are we progressing? Are we determined in our mind that, okay, I am being so much conditioned by my desires? Am I doing something about it? Am I even starting to think, I would like to give them up? Even that's good enough. And step by step, we figure out there is no need for the attachments. But if we maintain them and now keep just fulfilling them, then the senses, the nature of the senses is they are never satisfied. So one wants to do more and more and more, and it's going to be more and more nonsense. And many times it's Vaishnava aparat involved. And now these things are very serious. Okay, now this is the point which I was coming to. So again, this is Bali Maharaj speaking. Although you have no knowledge, you have become a so-called learned person. No, that's Shukracharya speaking. And therefore, you dare to impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. And Prabhupada speaks, Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Bali Maharaj was not Pandita Mani, or one who falsely assumes himself learned. Rather, he was Pandita Manya Gyanaha, one who is so learned that all other learned persons worship him. And because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his so-called spiritual master. He had no fear of any condition of material existence. Anyone cared for the Lord Vishnu does not need to care about anyone else. Thus, Bali Maharaj could never be bereft of all opulences. The opulences offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not to be compared to the opulences obtained by Karmakanda. So now we can see that Bali Maharaj, he was not confused. So now one may say, oh, he was so proud that no, he thinks he knows. So he disobeys his spiritual master. But he celebrated. So was it that actually he thought he knows, or was it that he actually knew? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur speaks about that he actually knew what needs to be done. So he was the real pandit. He was not confused. So what should we follow? Now, we may also think, well, I know better than anybody else. So, what's the difference between us and Bali Maharaj? He knows everything, I know everything. So he didn't have to follow his spiritual master. I don't have to follow my spiritual master, right? That's the logic. But how do I know if I know? Now, if one knows, then it's realization. It's realized not through Chaitanya Guru. Until then, what one knows? One still cannot be considered he knows that much as Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was a self-realized person. And therefore, now he could say that what you are telling me goes against what I have realized, not what I have learned, what I have realized. So therefore he was safe. He was under the care of the Lord. But until we know that much, we should be very, very seriously taking up the orders Guru Sadhu Shastra, following the instructions, understanding this is the absolute truth, and following it, so then we can come to the level of pure devotional service like Bari Maharaj did, or Prahlad Maharaj. There are now some devotees now in our society, and they are preaching now some philosophy that actually Srila Prabhupada was not perfect. That he was sometimes wrong, and what he says is not really absolute, and complete bogus. If we accept that, then where is the reference? Who is actually the guru? What does guru mean? What does mean the parampara? How do we then get the absolute knowledge? The absolute knowledge is only possible by the surrender to the bona fide spiritual master who is connected to parampara. Now that one starts thinking that, well, I know more than guru. He tells me, okay, this, but I think it's like this, and therefore now I start preaching that. It's very dangerous. And the devotee has many, not exactly followers, but they do listen to him. And I don't know what's happening with our leaders, what are they doing about it? But something seriously has to happen. Because in our society, many times, when there is some devotees, morally, they fall down, something happens. Immediately, so many devotees, so many people are jumping up and down, complaining, and something has to happen, and he's to be punished, and he's to do this, that, and best just kick him out of his corner, whatever. But when there is some philosophical deviation, it's okay, it's another opinion. But according to the Shastra, it should be the other way around. Philosophical deviation is very, very serious and should be dealt with immediately. And as far as I know, the devotee, it was pointed out to him. But he does not want to accept anything else. He says, well, I like it because it helps me in Krishna consciousness. So it's not absolute, so I like it that way. And he is not willing to change the way he presents his talks. So that's serious. But I don't know what's going to happen with it, but you have to be understanding, you are responsible for your own elevation of Krishna consciousness. All of us. Hare Krishna. Any question? Sorry for the time. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I just have a question for confirmation. Since you mentioned brahmachari, I just want to know what the word brahmachari means in English.
What does brahmachari?
Since you mentioned it, I just, for confirmation, what does the word brahmachari mean in English?
Okay, brahmachari then means that one who is close to Brahman. He is actually following, he is meditating on Brahman. So Brahman means the Supreme Lord. So he is under the guidance of an acharya, and under the guidance, then he is absorbed in Brahman, devotional service. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jayanitai Gaur Paramananda.